Welcome to the Spot On Insurance Podcast, brought to you by Insurance Licensing Services of America, ILSA. This is Ted Tavares.
And this is Arlene Tavares coming to you from beautiful Puerto Rico. Today, we'll be taking a closer look at a topic that affects every single one of us.
But before we get started, don't forget to click on the subscribe button so you don't miss a single episode. And now here's our host, Doug Foresta.
Hello and welcome to Spot On Insurance. This is your host, Doug Foresta. And I want to remind you before we get started that if you have not, please subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. That way you'll get all the episodes as they're released. We're also available on Google Play and Stitcher Radio as well. Today, my guest is Brandi Heinen. She is the founder, CEO of Powerhouse Learning. And we're going to be, I really think you'll get a lot out of this, episode. We're going to be talking about conversations for action. Brandi, thank you so much for joining me.
Hey, Doug. Thanks so much for having me today.
Thanks a lot. Thanks. So why don't we actually start with, I guess the most obvious question is, what do you mean by conversations for action? What is that?
Right. So conversation for action is really just a unique human technology that helps create language to get more of what you want out of the people in your life. So it's better communication, better results, better accountability.
And so can you talk a little bit about how that conversation for action, how that changes? I know you talk about how it changes culture, communication, and accountability. So maybe we can go through each one of those and kind of explain that.
Sure, happy to. So really, culture, communication, accountability seems to be three common things that we're all very familiar with, or we recognize that there's things that are missing in our organizations in at least one of those three areas. So culture is, how do you move with vision? How do you create purpose and a meritocracy where people actually feel engaged? So we know through so many statistics that less than 30% of people are actually engaged in the workplace. And by the way, it's not just your staff, it's owners and leaders as well. Communication is, who do we communicate with? Customers, each other. How do we further results through our language? You know, language is how we actually get results, or lack of, in the way we communicate. So how are we communicating with one another and outwardly with our customers? And so I've probably done about 2,100 surveys over the past 14 years of doing this. And every survey without fail has this word, you know, communication that's lacking in an organization. It's crazy. And it's also used as an excuse. And we'll talk about that in a second. Accountability is really, what's my personal responsibility? How do I act with one another? Do I get my job done on time? Can I accomplish the goals and objectives I've set if I'm in sales? And then, of course, there's all the internal procedures and workflow and how do you actually get stuff done? And then outward, CRM, I call it, as a verb. So client relationship management. Are we accountable to our customer for what we said we would deliver? So that's just a quick overview of CCA.
Cool. And then I'm really curious about this question about the three types of people in your organization. And I'm thinking about all the different organizations I've worked in over the years. So I'm wondering how that breaks down into three.
Labels, right?
Absolutely.
The next podcast will be on difficult personalities, right? make a few labels. So that's actually one of my pet peeves, is we want to label people in that way. But some of this work, actually, I'm a huge advocate of Dr. Paul Stoltz, and he's written several books, but his core work is about adversity. And we talk about three kinds of people in an organization, which are campers, climbers, and quitters. And so 80% of our organization is made up of campers. And of course, campers were once climbers at one time, who've chosen to finally roll out the sleeping bag and set up camp and hang out for a while because, frankly, it's not really worth the effort to climb once again.
And can you say a little bit about, as well, this idea of creating a culture of agreement?
Yeah, so this goes back to that core of C4A, the conversations for action. So if I may, I'll kind of go through that a little bit. So I use five distinct bullet points when it comes to conversations for action, and that is promise, commitment, agreement, request, And then my two favorite words in the English language are by when. So communication is my least favorite word because it doesn't mean anything until we define it. By when are my two favorite words because everything happens once we have a by when. In the old days, we would say nothing happens until there's a sale. Well, in a way, it's kind of connected because then we know who we're going to deliver, to whom we're going to deliver something, and then when. But really what's fascinating to me, and I've done this now through hundreds and hundreds of experiences in front of audiences and one-on-one with executive coaching and, of course, facilitating teams in the boardroom. And these words seem so, so simple. And so what I'd like to do, though, is have your listeners actually run an experiment in your next staff meeting. And on the board, I'd like you to ask them, what is the difference that they think exists between the word promise and the word commitment? And these seem like so super simple, Doug, right. And yet people cannot define with clarity or consistency in the room the difference between a promise and a commitment. And the reality is this is the foundation of everything that we say we believe in the industry, everything that we endeavor to deliver, and yet we can't even define it in our industry. And so as I go around the room, I always find these varying answers. In fact, I was just away last week and then 2 weeks before that in front of a room of 200 people and then in a boardroom and went through the same experiment. And in simple terms, promise is the words that we say that declare our intent. I'm going to promise to do something. And commitment is my willingness to do whatever it takes to keep my promise, to go the second mile, the third, the fourth, whatever it takes. And what happens is that we often in our society today, I say we talk a lot, but we don't say much. So I say, hey, Doug, let's get together sometime. Or, oh, we should have lunch. Or, hey, I'd like to get together and talk about that amazing new thing that you're working on. Oh, yeah, sure, Brandy, sounds good. And then nothing happens. I just had this last week. I met somebody and I said, oh, I'd love to connect with you and talk about what you're doing. And he said, fantastic. So I sent him a text message and he says, hey, I got it. And I said, great, I'd like to talk with you the week of the 6th or the week of the 13th. And you know what his reply was? Absolutely.
That's great.
And now I'm getting ready to step on a plane. I don't have time to play around. I've already made a request. So then let's go into kind of these other pieces. So you know, we have this promise. There was a commitment. We followed through with the original text. And this could be any correspondence through email or telephone calls or anything. But now I've made a request. So I say, hey, Doug, what time are we going to talk today? And you give me a time. And I say, okay, that sounds great. Well, now I've given you my word. And we also have an interchange of agreement. So you should be able to expect that I show up on time. But what happens in normal society is, I mean, if we were meeting for lunch, we'd probably want to reach out to each other or connect, say, hey, how come you weren't there at lunch? But I find a lot of times in written communication, we don't do a great job. So underwriter says, hey, I need, you know, that lost data, I need history, I need information. And they don't necessarily give a by when. We've got another 15 emails that have come in after that. We have no way of sorting this communication. So when I work with people, what I hear often is that people are struggling so much with, quote, time management, which, by the way, is a farce because we can't manage time.
Sure.
We can't, right? We can only manage our energy. So time management becomes this big problem. Workflow, procedures, overwhelm, stress is a big problem. And I've got the answer. And it's conversations for action. When I get clear with specificity about what I've promised, who's going to deliver, by when, and I use specificity in that language, like I said, then I'm always clear where I stand. Now, if somebody doesn't follow up and do what they say they're going to do, so we have a broken promise, if I've used by when and I've been clear about who's supposed to deliver what, well, then that's my trigger to step in and get involved in language. So for example, if you say, okay, Brandy, be on the podcast at this time, and I don't show up, well, then of course, you know, then you need to reach out to me. Hey, what happened? Did you get hit by a bus? You know, did you run over the neighbor's cat? Right? You know, what's going on? Oftentimes we don't care enough to follow up with people, but when you have agreement, you have accountability.
Spot On Insurance is sponsored by ILSA, Insurance Licensing Services of America, America's premier licensing and regulatory compliance experts. To learn more about ILSA and the services they provide, visit ilsainc.com. Let me ask you this. I often wonder if sometimes people, when they will send a communication, they purposely leave it out so that there isn't the accountability. Do you know what I mean?
Well, sure. You know what, though? I don't know how much of that is really purposeful, how much of that is intentional. I think some of this is a result of busy. Now, if I want to avoid someone, so this prompts me to think about the typical prospect, you know, producer, salesperson interchange. And so a salesperson finally gets the prospect on the phone and talks a little bit about who they are and what they're doing. And then the prospect says, well, I tell you what there, Steve, why don't you just give me a call in the next couple of weeks? And Steve goes, oh, okay. And hangs up the phone.
Right.
You know, like worst possible thing that could happen in a sales interchange because it's already over. What Steve doesn't realize is the prospect duped him. It's over. He's lost respect. Why? Because he didn't ask, you know, those two simple things. By when? So, oh, next couple of weeks, Mr. Prospect, hold on just a second. Let me look at my calendar. And hold on. Let's see. Your next couple of weeks. All right. That's the first week of the month. What does your schedule look like then? Now, listen, if the prospect Doug says, oh, yeah, no, I don't think, you know, going back to your point, like, this sounds kind of feels kind of sketchy and I don't really want to do this. Well, then guess what? My salesperson knows. They know right away that they've missed something in that communication, in their relationship. Instead of waiting 2 months, 3 weeks, you know, 6 months from now, what, however long it is that it finally takes the salesperson to have the courage, right, to get back and reach out to the prospect. Prospect doesn't get back to them. They go back and forth and back and forth. And finally, the salesperson gives up.
You can deal with it right in the moment.
Yeah, they know right now.
I think that's brilliant. Yeah. And I like what you said that also it really is that for most of the time, it's really just that we're busy and we're not thinking about it. So we blast something off or we say something to someone and we just forget, you know, to include. I think if anything, if people take away two words from this entire podcast, it would be by when, right?
By when, yeah, for sure. And so, like, for example, let's go back to, you know, the underwriter that says, okay, I need this information. Man, it would be so simple if what they would say is by noon or by five. I mean, I often ask people, well, when is by Thursday, right? And then we get into the whole thing. Well, I'm not really sure. Is it Wednesday? Is it by midnight? Is, oh, it's by the end of the day, Thursday. So we have all this vague, ambiguous communication.
Right.
So then I say, you know, when is Thursday by noon? Right. So right. By noon, or when is Thursday by five? So my two cheater ways to do this with by when is by noon or by five. Now I know exactly where I need to step in. If I'm in sales and I said, okay, I will send this to you. And then what will you do next? Because we often don't plan for the second by when. So we say, all right, you know, send me over the information. Okay, great. Well, then what happens after that? This is why when I facilitate strategic planning with executives, we often wait about 60 days before there's total breakdown again, because the list is too long. We don't really know where we stand. Who's going to start what? What happens after the first fail? Because we know when we try something new, we're always going to screw up and fail. It's like driving a stick shift, you know, manual transmission for the first time.
Spot On Insurance is sponsored by ILSA, Insurance Licensing Services of America, America's premier licensing and regulatory compliance experts. To learn more about ILSA and the services they provide, visit ilsainc.com. Right. Well, that actually brings up a question I was wondering is, yeah, what are the typical challenges or things that get in the way when you do this work with organizations? I'm sure people, it's hard to argue with, but at the same time, it's like one of those things where it's simple but not easy.
Yeah. I talk about that too.
You do, yeah. So I'm curious, like, what are the challenges that get in the way that keep, you know, that keep us from fully implementing this, you know, right off the bat?
Well, it sounds kind of silly. First of all, people say, well, this sounds so easy. Like, duh, you're talking to us about promise and commitment. Yeah, except it's the foundation of everything that happens. Just think about all the promises you make that you don't fulfill because you lack specificity, or how many people make promises to you that get broken every day, and then you feel like you have to chase them down and everybody's too busy to bother. So I think one of the things is the tendency to almost dismiss simple things. But I say simple gets implemented, complicated does not. A confused mind often says no. I think that's one of the challenges. The second thing is we kind of have this ego where we don't want to plan to fail, right? So it's like, we need to plan for the failure. We need to plan of the fact that whatever we come back from, whether it's this podcast, any of the others that you've done that have been phenomenal, speaking engagements or trainings, we're going to come back home and try something and we're going to face a wall of objections. And this is actually some of the piece that Stoltz talks about, where he says our number one factor for success is how well we withstand and overcome adversity. adversity. We face like 22 adversities a day. Some of us say we've had that before lunch. Right. Right? You know, so we're not.
You said that.
Right? You're like, I already had that today. So we don't think about all of the adversity. We don't actually write down. We write down things like obstacles, but we don't write down what's going to happen 2 weeks from now when and if Brandy decides or she does have a vacation planned and it's right close to the deadline. We don't anticipate the fail. So I think that's a second thing. And I think the third thing is that we're not, sorry, my least favorite word, we're not communicating about what we're going through in the process because everyone's expected to be perfect instead of bringing authenticity and sincerity into those communications with one another.
I know that you have a math formula for avoiding disappointment from your staff, and I definitely want to hear that.
Okay, so I was in a meeting last week facilitating for a bunch of executives, and one of the people in the room says, you know, I expect that they will get it done. I expect that they will follow through. I expect my staff to be adults. I expect that they'll earn their paycheck. And all of a sudden, I just started laughing, right? Because I have this math formula about expectation, and it is expectation plus reality equals disappointment. And it kind of sounds like this, you know, I mean, for all of us that have had kids or all of us that have been children, it's like, you know, you come in and your parents say, you know, I want your room clean. And so is the expectation that it's going to be done to my standard as the child or to theirs? Right? Of course, to theirs as the parent. And is the expectation that it's going to be done on their timeline or my timeline? Well, I'd like it to be my timeline, but reality is mom and dad want it done on their timeline. And so it's like we do this as leaders, we do this with our peers, we do this with our customers, and we do this in the sales process. We have these expectations and then reality happens and we feel disappointed and then we don't know where to put it. So oftentimes when people don't know what to do, they do nothing. So if you're feeling disappointment, that's because how you've set up the expectation.
Yeah, that's really powerful. I mean, you know, if I'm an agent and, you know, I'm listening to this and I go, man, you know, I see the value in this and I see where I'm missing the boat, you know, overall. What suggestions would you have about how I could start implementing these conversations for action?
That's a great question because everybody worries about processes and procedures and best practices and carrier relations. I mean, I've been in the business for a while and I coach, you know, GAs and agents, company folks all over the country. And so, you know, we go, we got to be best practices or we need to fulfill our procedures or policies or people are too overwhelmed. So we need workflow. And look, you know, we facilitate all that conversation as well. But without this foundation of C4A, you really have nothing. Actually, you have expectation plus reality. You're going to have disappointment because even if you have a great procedure or even if you have a great workflow program, it will not be sustainable unless you have agreement. So what do you do? I think you maybe listen to this and have a conversation with your team. And what are some of the things that we know aren't working? And it's interesting. I mentioned this group that I facilitated last week, and I had written down during the course of the meeting some of their complaints and their worries and their concerns and their breakdowns, right? And I said to them, I wrote down several things that you said verbatim as fast as I could write. And I am not going to remember who said what, so you guys tell me who it was. But I bet you that every problem you've stated, every challenge comes back to C4A, to Conversations for Action. You didn't have a clear promise. There was no commitment to follow through. You did not have a clear request with a by when, and you don't have agreement. And it was very fascinating. We went through that conversation with them. And what I would love to hear happen or see happen, or you guys reach out to me or reach out to Doug, I'd like to see you facilitate that in a staff meeting. Talk about it with your salespeople and go, hey, where's the breakdown? Where we feel disappointed? And can we bring it back to language and how we have communicated, not just verbally, but also with our actions?
My guest today is Brandy Heinen, the CEO and founder of Powerhouse Learning. Brandy, I also want to make sure before we wrap up today that, well, first of all, people can go, I know, to powerhouselearning.com. But also, let's talk about your book, By When, and how they can learn more about that.
So this was not something I had this grand ambition to do, right?
You were talking about that. Yep. Prior to,
I feel very self-conscious about this. Like, oh, every stupid consultant has a book, you know. Well, this is not my plan. And so for about a decade, I have had people in the back of the room or just say, "Hey, where's your book?" And I've had people hand me their credit card. I took it, of course, but no, I just
the book is coming. I'm writing it next year.
It's like my husband when he says he's going to work on the lawn, right? I'm working. So finally what happened is we've got right now today, as of today's podcast, almost 400,000 followers on LinkedIn. We've just been incredibly blessed with people asking me to put together a written work. And so the book by when will be released here in the next 60 days. So probably by the time people listen to it, we'll have it ready to go. And you can just go to powerhouselearning.com/bywhenbook. To sign up to receive a copy.
Brandi Heinen, thank you so much for joining me today. You know, one of the things that I really try hard to accomplish in each one of these podcasts is, you know, for our listeners is to really get that, you know, that nugget of gold, that thing that people can hold on to. And I think you've definitely given our listeners some really great stuff to think about when it comes to how to move from conversations to action. So I really appreciate you coming on today.
Oh, thanks so much.
Thank you. Thanks for joining me.
By the way, our show notes and bonus resources can be found on spotoninsurance.com. Subscribe now so you don't miss a single episode.
Thanks for joining us.